fairness has been a huge part of my life for the past year or so. Not because we've been having knockdown, drag-out fights at church that we have to judge about, and not because of political disagreements, not even because I keep texting with the bishop about the Yankees and the Red Sox. He texted me after the first game mentioning things about them beating the Red Sox. This morning, I really enjoyed texting him back about yesterday. I'm not kidding. No, that's not why fairness has been part of my life. It has a lot more to do with my children, age 6 and 4. I can't tell you how often I hear one of them say, "It's not fair. He's been playing with that toy longer than I have. It's not fair. She got to pick the TV show yesterday. It's not fair." Over and over and over again. It just has become like a mantra. And I'll confess that I've actually started to engage with those statements. Not with Eli, just with Lucy. I'll look at her and I'll say, "You're right. It's not fair. Life isn't fair." And I'll launch into some long excursus where she just kind of glazes over. It's kind of like in Peanuts when the adults talk. I think that's about what she's taking out of it. But what I'm trying to say to her is, yeah, you know, there are times in life when things happen not the way you want them to. There are going to be times when people don't follow the rules. There are going to be times where things fall apart. And what we need to figure out is how we are going to be resilient and how we are going to live as truly as we can according to our values and our beliefs. And just yesterday, as I was having one of those conversations with Lucy at about 7 p.m., it just reminded me of these readings that we just heard this morning. Readings from 2 Corinthians and from the Gospel of Mark. These readings speak of situations and realities in life that are not fair. 2 Corinthians is a little tricky to kind of catch on to this morning. I mean, you can hear Paul's kind of going back and forth, talking with people about helping other people, right? But you may not know the whole big picture. And the big picture is, Paul helped start the church that exists in the city of Corinth. Paul has written to them and directed them and visited them. Paul is deeply connected to this gathered body of Christians. And what he's doing at the end of this letter today is encouraging those Christians who have been fighting with each other and who can't seem to figure out how to live. He's encouraging them to do something good on behalf of some other Christians. He's encouraging them to help people who are in the midst of hunger and pain and suffering. And it's interesting. On the one hand, Paul tells them, well, when you give, I don't want it to be unfair. I don't want you to, you know, give to the point where you don't have enough for yourself. I want this to be balanced and reasonable. Right? So he kind of appeals to fairness there. But his real rationale for why the people in Corinth ought to help these other Christians who are suffering has absolutely nothing to do with fairness. It has everything to do with being loved, with experiencing hope and grace. It has everything to do with having experienced God in their lives. Paul reminds them that despite all of the challenges of life, they have found something beautiful and wonderful in their faith. Paul reminds them that as they come together, they have found forgiveness and hope. People who will laugh with them and people who will cry with them. They have found new life in Jesus Christ. And Jesus has poured out his grace on them time and time again. And it is out of that reality that Paul encourages them to give. It is out of abundance. It is out of the gift of new life made known to us in Jesus Christ. Paul's argument is not that it isn't fair. Paul's argument is that because God has loved us, we are to love one another. You know, if you stop and think about it, any really good, genuine gift that you've ever received in your life probably comes out of a place of love rather than out of a place of fairness. I mean, let's be honest, it probably does happen, right? You have bought Christmas gifts for other people because they bought you something, right? Let's be honest, it happens, right? There are times where we try to maintain fairness. But the gifts that really mean something to us, the gifts that touch our heart, usually come out of love, out of relationship, out of a desire to bless somebody else, right? And that's exactly what Paul is saying. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing in the Gospel of Mark this morning. We see in Jesus God giving gifts left and right to Jairus, to his daughter, to the unnamed hemorrhaging woman who has been suffering for years, who has spent all that she had so that she could find healing. Let's be absolutely clear. Healing does not come from fairness. These two women didn't earn their turn to be healed. They weren't healed that day, and thus other people were put at the back of the line, left waiting for healing. They didn't get healing because they'd done a good job and paid their dues. There's no fairness involved here. No. This is about God just pouring out grace, love, and a gift. This is not a divine accountant who's counting beans and checking how we've done and then choosing to respond. In Jesus, what we see is pure gift, pure grace, flowing from him, surging from him, taking on a life of its own. That woman just touches his robe and she's healed. Jesus doesn't even think about it. It just happens. It is gift. It is grace. It is love. This isn't the kind of thing that says, well, we're not going to do right by people because they didn't follow the rules. This isn't the kind of thing that says that you have to do all the right things and believe the right things to be loved. No, this is grace. And what we see in Jesus is love incarnate, flowing freely, abundantly, recklessly, inviting us to love, to give, not because it's fair, but because that is the nature of God. So what in the world does all of this gift-giving and grace and love stuff about Jesus have anything to do with you and me here in Western Massachusetts in 2018 in the midst of a heat wave right close to the 4th of July? Well, here's what I'm going to suggest that we do today. Just like I've been giving you homework and suggestions for, going on 4 or 5 weeks now, why stop now? Here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to watch every single day for places where you receive a gift from others, a gift that's freely given. Now, maybe it's a smile, a kind word, somebody who lets you cut in front of them at the supermarket because you just have 3 or 4 things and they've got 17 things. Maybe it's someone's attention and time and willingness to talk to you and to listen to you and to be with you. Maybe it's a moment where you glimpse beauty in the midst of nature or in the midst of an interaction. Maybe it's a moment of laughter. Maybe it's a literal gift that somebody gives to you. I don't care what it is, but I want you to pay attention when that happens. And I want you to ask yourself, what's it feel like to receive? What does it feel like not to receive because it's fair, but because somebody wanted to show you love? What does that do to you? And then as you reflect on that, I also want you to pay attention for moments when you want to give gifts to other people. When you want to say a kind word of affirmation or support. Where you want to offer forgiveness or a listening ear or a hug, or your time, or your expertise, or maybe a literal gift. Whatever it is, pay attention to both of those moments and pay attention to what is going on inside of you, because here is the thing. As we seek to pattern our lives on Jesus Christ, as we seek to pattern ourselves after Christ, the one who gives so freely, we will learn more truly what it is to be Christians as we give and we receive. We will learn more truly what it is to be like Jesus when we stop counting and seeking fairness, and instead we seek to just embody love and grace and gift given freely to all. Because our Jesus, our God, is a gift-giving God, full of grace, full of truth, full of love. Pay attention this week, and may we all become more like the one who gave himself for us. Amen.